does your team know what you do? Like, does your team believe you're the expert in what you do? This ties in a little bit of branding, but I think it's more leadership just because I need to lead my people well. And by doing that means they know what I do, how I do it, that I do it well. And that is plays a big role in case acceptance, right?
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back, woo, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Hope you're having a great day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. It's been busy. I don't know about y'all. Oh, great. I have so much to talk about, actually. So much to talk about. First off, went to Italy. Got engaged. Yes, let's go. I can hear you all cheering for me right now. That's super exciting. So my girlfriend Andrew and I got engaged. That was really exciting. And yeah, so that's great. So dentistry, podcasting has been super top of mind. But we're getting back into the swing of things and normal routine. Now, So while I'm on the State of the Union, I think that's helpful. That's that. Hugh's in first grade now. That's crazy. And yeah, let me tell you about 3D, what's happening over there. So 3D Dentist, super excited. New website's about to get launched. So that's going to be great for just being able to see what we're doing, what we're up to, et cetera. Our summit dates, April 30th, May 1st. In Orlando, Universal Studios. Listen to this speaker lineup. It's borderline silly. Craig Spodak, Dr. Peyray, Diana Tadros, Grant Olson, Matt Najad. I mean, killer lineup. I may be missing one other. Yep, plus a couple others. It's going to be... I really do truly believe it's going to be the best summit. And clinically and everything, we're leveling up. It's just going to be really great. So make sure, like, the early bird pricing, I think, ends in like 2 weeks, which is the cheapest it will be. All tickets include a ticket to the park. We'll get done on the first day around 4 o'clock, and then you have a ticket to the rest of the afternoon and evening, and they open till like 10 o'clock at night to ride roller coasters, do the thing. So just a really cool experience. For you and your team members to make sure you do that. Plus, flights are the cheapest right now to book. So make sure you do that. What I wanted to kind of talk about today, I went to New Orleans last week and spoke to a group. It was fun. I got to speak to kind of all their doctors. And it's the topic I want to talk about is kind of the four buckets of growth that I think are, you know, they're important for both the practice and for the individual provider. And this even really goes into like team members. Honestly, like anybody listening to this, this is helpful. And you probably heard about me talk about this. The four buckets are leadership / case acceptance. That's kind of like the first bucket. I think case acceptance falls under leadership. Leadership, clinical skill set, digital technology, and personal branding. And so those are the four buckets of which I believe that, like, hey, we have to invest in these buckets. Obviously, I've talked about these buckets before, but I want to talk about these buckets in the terms of it's October and how do we plan for 2026? So I just came off of annual planning with our mastermind group, then went down there into this lecture. So this is just where my headspace is, and I think it'll be helpful. So and remember, our challenge is that most providers, they disproportionately put their CE and time into the clinical skill set bucket. Like, that becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. That if you were to like pull yourself and say, what was the last couple CE courses that I took? Most of them are going to be typically be related around like a clinical skill set upgrade. And that's helpful. But if you only invest in that bucket, then your potential of what you get out of that bucket is reduced. It has to be more than just clinical skill set. If you have no brand and nobody knows that you do something, how good is the skill set? If you can't get someone to say yes to the skill set, how good is it? If you have to do it in like an archaic way that isn't consumer driven, leveraging technology, how good is the skill set? So this should start to kind of like in some ways, like internally help you as a provider, either an associate, either as your business, looking at your business whole, even as a hygienist, start to map out, well, how, if I want to grow, which I make the assumption you're listening here, so that's something you're interested in, then how am I dividing out those things to improve and grow? You know, number one, obviously, is the leadership and case acceptance. I think that's always number one because it impacts everything the most, meaning like you can do the industry you want to do without technology, right? It's not a must. If you're unbelievably good at leadership and case acceptance, people will follow and want to do it. You know, and that's kind of an interesting comment, I think. If you get to a point where you're like such an expert in one of those things, it can overcome some of the pitfalls of not being. The challenge is that's really difficult to do. Like Grant Olson, for example. I don't know Grant personally that well. He's coming to speak at the summit, and he's going to be talking about basically building a massive personal brand without spending a lot of marketing dollars. Almost none. And he did this through YouTube. And so, like, he's created such a strong personal brand that he probably never has to learn to do pterygoids and zygotes because there's plenty to do that don't require that skill set. I know that I know we talk, and so like I know that like he just started doing digital workflows for AllInX, something we've been doing for 4 years. Like doesn't need the technology bucket as much because he's done such a good personal brand. You know that it's just, and I'm not, don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying that you can't, you should go all in on one. I think that's harder to do, frankly. I think it's more uncomfortable to, in a longer road to build that. But it does kind of, again, paint the picture of like it's important to be investing in these buckets. So, you know, I had this conversation with these docs. It's like, okay, well, how do we start to kind of navigate through these buckets? And to me, on the leadership side, it's always going to come into communication. And what am I doing to kind of improve my communication and recognizing that the one that I want to specifically talk about today is, does your team know what you do? Like, does your team believe you're the expert in what you do? This ties in a little bit of branding, but I think it's more leadership just because I need to lead my people well. And by doing that means they know what I do, how I do it, that I do it well. And that plays a big role in case acceptance, right? So if you're a new provider, you know, or if you're new to an office or in whatever capacity, you have to understand that like your audience is the team as much as it is the patients. Like your ability to relay to the team. And so my question I would ask you is like, okay, you just learned a new skill set or you learned a new skill set in the past 6 months. Have you blocked off some time to walk through what you're doing, show some before and afters? Do you even show your team before and afters? Like, what a great way to start morning huddle by leading my team and them seeing, hey, this is what I do, so that I can now get them on board to having these conversations and realizing like, man, we truly can do things that I didn't realize we could do. That to me is like fundamental base level of case acceptance is, am I communicating with the people in my office what we do? Number two is in that bucket is, I think we have to take ownership in our case acceptance process through data tracking and follow up. So the question I would ask is, do you track what happens to patients when you present treatment and then like from there, like you present treatment to patients, what happens? Does the patient say yes? Do they say maybe? Did they say no? Where do they go? Do we have a follow-up place and protocol? These are some areas where I think if you're like, where can I improve in this bucket? And you're saying, man, I'm not doing those things. I think these would be needle moving for you to look into how do I build this out in 2026? You know, then you get into technology, and technology is one of those things. It's like, there's so many different ways you can go, you know, and as a provider, like we're kind of up a creek or up, we're kind of walking uphill in that it's hard to define what I need or what's best for me because there's so much noise out there relative to the, you know, the salespeople, the marketing, etc. And so generally speaking, when we talk about like, okay, well, how do I invest in this technology bucket? Number one is there's obviously the, do I need to purchase technology? That's more on like the practice side, right? Like the owner side. How do we do that? We look at technology like it needs to do a couple things. It needs to make me be able to deliver care faster. Like speed is one. You know, we live in it's the Amazon world. You know, I can get stuff delivered tomorrow, today, etc. Do I have technology that allows me to be more consumer friendly? Do I gain speed in this technology? Number two is does it help me close more dentistry? Like I think that's such a big misnomer is we look at things like a 3D printer, for example. I'm like, oh, well, I can now print my night guards. And so that allows me to save the money on the night guard. I would argue that the better way to look at that is if I can print my own night guards, now I could do two night guards instead of one for the patient because my cost is not very high and I could even raise my fee. So I become more, this is important, I become more profitable, yet on a per night guard level, I'm more affordable. Like that's a weird dichotomy to be where everybody wins, and that if I can deliver better value and be more affordable per unit, but also be more profitable as a practice, like that's how technology should drive things. Or look at like barriers, right? Trial smiles, stop on smiles. You know, Allie does such a great job of teaching that for us now, and her next course is in January. And one of the things that I love about the course is it's all about leveraging technology, not to save money, but to get more yeses, to increase case acceptance, right? Going back to that first bucket. And that if I know I can get more people to try on a smile, more people will buy a smile. So like that's an area where I look at. So on the technology side, how am I more efficient? How does it make me more profitable, yet more affordable? How do I increase my case acceptance? Very rarely, like the last thing I care about is like the savings aspect of it, because there's just only so much you can save. And the reality is labs are cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, so it just doesn't make as much sense. Third bucket is going to be the clinical skill set. And I do think it's worth talking about that. Where I look at clinical skill set is what moves the needle the most. I think too often we do clinical skill set with our emotions. Like, oh, I want to go learn to do Botox, or I want to go learn to do whatever, but I don't have fundamental skill sets. Fundamental skill sets would be like, do I offer sedation? And I need to be super clear because this keeps coming up. When I say, do you offer sedation? I mean, like, have you taken a course and do you have like a permit? Not like anxiolysis, like I give them a pill. Like that is like, one, it's like a super gray area that I don't like legally, just because one pill can do drastically different things to different people. And two, your ability to control and get to the right level of sedation is very limited. And I know that if patients are comfortable, if I can do more in one visit, they're more likely to do more. So to me, if you're not offering sedation, sedation should be the number one clinical skill set upgrade that you look for implementing in 2026. I cannot tell you how much it is like the sedation is just it's like the glue to it all. It's the one no one talks about, but it's probably the most important on some level. Because you don't have to do fancy dentistry to sedate people. People that need 6 crowns and 3 fillings at one visit want to be sedated. That same patient you could do in one visit over 4 hours, or you can bring them back 4 different times for 8 hours. Because it ends up being more time when you bring them back. So sedation's one that I would tell you, like, hey, and there's lots of good places to get sedation. I think we have Docs as a partner with us. They offer sedation. They do a great job. It's where I did my sedation. If you message me, I can send you like a discount code. I think I have somewhere. I should probably put it in the show notes, but that would require me to have it right here. So recapping. 3 buckets so far: leadership, case acceptance. Where are you looking to improve there? Number two, digital technology. Where are we looking to improve there? One thing I want to reference on digital technology is you don't have to be an owner to invest in this bucket. You know, with this group that I was talking to in New Orleans, they all have Medits in their offices. Not one doctor was using the Medit free apps. They didn't have them, didn't even know what they were. Like Medit Smile Design, Medit Design, Medit Ortho Simulation. Are you leveraging the technology that you have? You bought this technology, but you're it's like taking a Ferrari and not getting out of first gear. You're underutilizing the power and the potential that the technology has. So maybe it's not that you're buying new technology next year. It's that you're just going deeper on the technology that you already have. So I wanted to make that note. Clinical skill set bucket, sedation, 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 sedation. Then it's a matter of, okay, I look at, like my CE was, my clinical skills were always paved by, I would more or less get a patient to say yes to some set of subset of dentistry. And then I didn't know how to do it. So I had to refer it out. And that drove me bonkers. So like a lot of my CE journey was kind of built around, I would close something, someone would want something, but I couldn't do it. And so like, it's hard enough to get people to say yes. Now I've got someone to say yes. They've got the money, but I can't do it. I'm like, I'm the dadgum barrier here. Don't be the barrier. It wasn't like, oh, what do I want to do? Like it was driven by like the data around like, hey, there's this in my practice to do. Let's go learn to do it. So that's kind of how I drove a lot of my clinical skill set, especially early on. And then the fourth bucket, last bucket, personal branding. So again, probably the one that gets the least looked at. And I love that. I love that we call it personal branding because it's like people don't want to like say that they're doing personal branding, right? You could say marketing, but really what it is branding. And so to me, what falls in this bucket is things like, have I updated my website? What is my Google review presence? What's my social media presence? Do people think Sullivan Dental Partners and they think dental implants, or do they think pediatric dentist? Like, how have I defined my office and myself as a provider within that office as a personal brand? Like what, because whether you realize it or not, you are always selling something. You always, always, you know, what you wear, how you act, everything is selling something. You're building a brand, whether you realize it or not, just by the way you operate and interact. And so to me, when people are like, oh, I don't market or I don't want to build a brand, it's like, that's actually bullshit because you are, and you have to, and you're live because you have a website. Therefore you have a brand. The difference is you're not taking hold of or control of your brand. You're not deciding what your brand's going to be. In all seriousness, like, you know, you think about it, like, you're listening to this podcast and like, most of you don't know, like, if I'm actually any good at dentistry. Like, you know, you don't know if my business actually is profitable. Now, the good news is I think I'm pretty good at dentistry. I've shown some work and yes, I think we run a pretty good business. But my point is like, that all starts with a level of fake it till you make it, or defining yourself as a brand and then backing it up. Because you can define yourself as a brand, but if you don't deliver, like, that doesn't work, right? And that's the difference. I shouldn't downplay myself. You know, if you may listen to this podcast one time, but if you go back and try to implement or do something and it doesn't work, it discredits me. So you can only fake it till you make it so long. You have to deliver. But the difference is that you need to be taking an intentionality behind the brand that you're building. The services that you offer, your walls are always telling something. Walk through your office. What do your walls tell you? What do your walls tell you that your office is about? The type of dentistry you do, the quality, all of this. So don't necessarily jump to, in 2026, I want to fill my personal brand bucket because I'm going to start doing TV commercials. Sure, that is a part of it. But it could be, I'm going to start doing once a week a frequently asked question that our practice gets. I'm going to get on a camera on my phone. I'm going to record that and I'm going to put that out there. Or I'm going to start telling people, because I'm going to start putting before and afters up in my walls of cosmetics, that, hey, we do cosmetics here. this is what I'm showing you we do. What is your brand telling people you do? This is super important in a, you know, in a group setting or in a, as you're, if you're an associate doctor, like I tell my docs, I'm like, you know, we have three associates right now. And they all have got a brand, whether they realize it or not. They have a brand with the team. They have a brand with patients. That brand could be new guy. You know, that brand could be the blonde haired person. How are you defining your brand within the practice? How are you defining your brand? And take ownership of it. Take ownership of it. Let people know what you do. Tell them what you want to do more of. Deliver on that. And that's how you do more of it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Four buckets. What I want you to do, seriously, take a moment to do this. You won't regret it. Write it down. Write it down. Write out these four buckets and then start to create an action plan on what it looks like to fill these buckets up in 2026. Book your CE. Like, if you want to win, write it down and then make it happen. Book the flights, book the CE, come to Summit. Let's make 2026 a great freaking year. All right, work smarter, harder. We will, I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.